Morseville's.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Morseville's.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Take a train, take a car. There's a smile on every face, and a winner in each race, where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar.
There you go. Had to get one more Bing in before we head out of town. And you know, it's funny, I just as we were taking the break, I thought, you know, it's now 8:15, and let me see if the forecast, because I thought by now we would start to burn off, you know. No, I just checked the forecast. It's not going to burn off. Whatever this is has essentially landed on top of the San Diego area, and another day of heavy overcast. Crazy. It's warmer than it was yesterday. So I hope it's not me. I hope it's not me that has done that. I apologize. There were two groups at the hotel. I'm staying again at the Lake House in San Marcos, which I stayed 3 years ago. I found it for Breeders' Cup, and I'm going to stay there again in October, November. And there were two parties that came for a wedding, and you know, one was from Tennessee. They came here to get married, and you don't, you know, when you're in the Northeast, you take it's a roll of the dice, but you come out here in August, you expect you're going to have, you know, picture perfect kind of weather, but no, I hope they weren't disappointed, and of course you hope it's not a, harbinger of. of their prospects as husband and wife. Cloudy, you know, cloudy, tumultuous. We also, I shouldn't complain considering what went on, what's going on, and then went on in the Northeast. I didn't see a lot of the imagery from New York City. I saw one subway station flooding thing. They said that like inches of rain, the most rain in a 60-minute period in the history of New York City. Right, and then there was the concert in Central Park, right? Unbelievable. Casey, I'm waiting for Phil, and in the meantime, though, we could. John apologized. He's not going to make it over physically, but he said, do the phone instead. All right, yeah, which is all right. Yeah. And, you know, it's a very. I didn't really realize this from Breeders' Cup 3 years ago, but. The horses are kind of all over. I mean, there's a full-fledged backstretch, but around the first turn, there's there's these barns that are essentially, you know, part of more part of the fairgrounds per se than they are, you know, barns for housing the racehorses. So there's these large, there's one hall where they fill it up with temporary stalls for the meet, which I didn't really realize. So kind of interesting. I had been coming around. There was a gate up on the, they call the Solana gate on the backside, and for Breeders' Cup, I came around that side, and I never really went up the first turn until this weekend. It was, you know, with Hammer, and thanks to Hammer, by the way, for just a fabulous 4 days. They went, he and Gina went back yesterday morning to Chatsworth, and I can't thank Hammer enough. This was an inspired idea, and just a fabulous time. And I'll also, because I invariably end up stacked up at the end of the show, I will thank Joe Harper and Craig Dato, Mac McBride, who came out and helped me get set up this morning as well, and everybody here. Josh Rubenstein, David Jerkins, and gosh, I never, you know what, I'm just realizing, I never saw David now that I think about it, so best to him. John Sadler is online with us, and a chance for the third time in 4 years to congratulate he and Costa Aronis on a Pacific Classic win. John, well done. Case, yeah, he's there. John, you got to pick up on him if you would, Case, and because I don't hear him. You can usually tell there's that ambient sound that just trickles through. So, if you could pick up with him, and yeah, try it again. You ready? Yeah? John? John Sadler? Yeah. Okay. I will let Case straighten this out with him. Okay. Yeah. All right, he's going to call him back. I can't imagine. It's one of the great annoyances of of the tech side of things. So it actually gives me a second to pull out the Tripoli. Oh, you see, Casey thinks maybe the phone, maybe his phone is gone, is out, it went out, it died. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll. Okay, and well, Phil. All right, so you know what, Case. Phil D'Amato just texted that he's on his way. So if John, if you straighten out with John, oh, you think you got him again? All right. Yeah. Okay. Do you have him now, John? All right, let me know when you have them. Meantime, I'll mention, I'll run this down again for a second. The the development on this horse, on Tripoli, this is a horse that won at First Asking, going 5.5, which is pretty amazing. And you know, and here he is on the dirt at a mile and a quarter. So it's clear that he's got all kinds of different aptitudes, and you know, stretched out immediately, and it took him a few times to clear, not even to clear the allowance condition. Took an extended period where he essentially, you know, was competitive repeatedly, but didn't win. And as we were standing in the winner's circle on Saturday, you know, I with Jay Pribman and I, and said to John, you know, about moving him to the dirt, and at what point, you know, did you say this is worth trying? And he just said he watched him in the spring, yeah, because they can't, the turf course is closed to training. They can't breeze at Santa Anita. So he said the more he watched him on the dirt, and the more comfortable he looked training, he said, well, let's try it. And he had cleared. It's the funny thing about it is he had finally cleared the allowance condition after 9 tries. So then he said, all right, let's put him in this dirt allowance going second level, and clears it and jumps from high 80 buyers to 100, and follows it up with that excellent try in the San Diego. And you know, this was one of those cases where we talked about Friday on the handicapping front, where you just, you know, you saw a horse that had paired up, you know, two excellent dirt efforts. He was going to get the right inside, you know, trip behind whatever speed was going to materialize. And why not? He was going to be a little bit of a price. You know, everybody described this field as being, you know, solid, if not, you know, packed with stars. And so now we come out the other side, and now there's a star, and it's Tripoli. And just pretty cool story, I think. 104. Okay. All right. So we're going to... You're going to try again, Case?
I can hear you.
There we go. There's John Sadler.
I'm on.
That was crazy. I know Casey was getting flummoxed too. He didn't know why
yeah,
he wasn't.
The, you know. The phone's a little funny, but you just described the history of how we ended up in there beautifully. So that was you got it just right.
Well, and John, there's also the matter that you've won this 3 times in 4 years, and so you know you've got the mile and a quarter element in your mind, and that part of it, you know, is a unique equation. I mean, this is a horse by pedigree. The Kitten's Joy, obviously, you know, turf stamina kind of influence, and then Tappet, and you know, Tappet is producing all these Belmont winners, so there's some stamina from there. But I mean, talk about his overall development, because clearly the timing on all of this for a 4-year-old making a 14 start, you got something special to deal with here.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, it's not always a grand design. A lot of times, you know, we were running him in knob winners on the grass, and you kept kind of doing it because he'd be second in that race. You know, he would run good races and just wasn't really kind of getting lucky. So you kept him in there in his conditions. And then after he won the condition, you know, I said, you know, he's training so good on dirt. We're going to give him a try on dirt. It makes twice as many races, you know, that we can look at. And we'd done it actually earlier in the meet with another horse called Haywood's Beach. It was the same thing. He was fourth in the Cougar, and now he's getting a little break. He transitioned over. So, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that in California you're on one surface a long time, either at Del Mar or Santa Anita. So they have time to really get comfortable with the surface. And that's what Tripoli was doing.
One thing I noted that to me, it was an indication that this was from word go. And let's note, this was a $450,000 Keeneland yearling. This was not, you know, this was a horse that was, you know, cut out to be a nice horse. But he won turf sprinting. That to me is pretty notable. I mean, here's a Kitten's Joy out of a Tappet mare that was capable of winning it, you know, going short like that.
Yeah, you know, he was first race, he didn't know what the hell was going on. So even though he knew he was a distance horse for his development, I said, I want to run back short again. And I think he'll run well. They were, you know, paid a bunch of money that day, paid a big number. But he always showed run, and you know, he's just developed as we've gone along. And, you know, as far as his purchase price, you know, when I'm in Keeneland there and he was going in the ring, you know, you really have your mind. That 450 is the number for an A-plus or a B-plus dirt pedigree colt, you know. So I really thought I'd be able to buy him for about 200, 250. And I liked him a lot, and I just was like a dog with a bone, you know. I just couldn't quite let him go. And, you know, afterwards I was cussing myself out that I overpaid. But, you know, I said, if he wins stakes on the grass, we're going to be good. And then look how it's turned out, kind of different.
Unbelievable. And, you know, and it, you know, the fact that you win this, you and Costa win this now a third time with three different horses, that's not an accident.
Oh, well, it's great for Hieronis Racing, because you see they allow me to be very patient with their horses. You know, there's not a pressure to run early. If anybody wanted to tease me, they could tease me about my early 2-year-olds, which is probably a short book. But what we like to do is develop horses, and obviously as they've grown and I've grown, you know, we're looking to develop, you know, two to threes and threes to fours, you know, over two turns. Classic distances, hopefully a Derby, you know, we were there this year, didn't do well, but, you know, that's what we're looking to do. And then if you take good care of the horses, it's fun to see them develop as older horses.
Well, he now, you know, becomes a major player, obviously, considering we're going to run a mile and a quarter on this racetrack in 2 months. So, and we'll get to that portion of the story with you and with Rock Your World in a minute. But I do want to fold Tiago Pereira into this, because it's been a very difficult summer for him. Comes into the big card with two wins on the meet, and you were loyal to him, and this was his only mount of the day, and I thought that it absolutely had to be noted, you know, that you had every confidence in him, and obviously Costa as well, to handle this assignment.
Yeah, you know, he's a really nice young man, and he doesn't ride a lot for us, and he kind of got on the horse by accident, because the horse won on Derby Day when everybody else was out of town. But he rode him really well, and then he came back and rode him well again. So, I mean, the horses run really well for him every single time. So that was the kind of the reason that we stuck with him, because he rode him really, really good. You know, and so I just felt like maybe there's a little chemistry there. And he rewarded himself and us, everybody, with a really flawless ride on Saturday. He broke alertly. He looked like a happy horse all the way around there. So you got to give him a lot of credit for coming up with a 10 ride on the big day.
Exactly, and it did seem that you were perfectly drawn, because, you know, he had been wide in the San Diego. There was an 8-horse field. He was in the 8-hole, and it did feel like whoever was going to go to the lead in this spot, that he was going to get that ground saving trip inside behind. And I give him credit, because the inside clearly was the place to be on Saturday, and he saved ground every step, but he moved at the right time, because Tis a Magician was not backing up.
That's very true. And you know what he said this somewhere, and I said it is. It looked, when you're trying to kind of figure the race out, you know, it looked like to me a lot of horses were the same style. You know, everybody wanted to lay third, three lengths off the lead. So I said, you know, just try to get a smooth, you know, just trying to emphasize smooth trip, not fighting them. Hopefully the field from when you're drawn inside doesn't come over on top of you. And when he kind of, I loved it with the way he got out of the gate. He broke really good and was able to tuck in there. So I was feeling really pretty good all the way around. You know, the ground saving trip, and plus not having a lot of hammering like you can get on the inside in certain races.
You know, I mentioned this to you on Saturday. I didn't go to the paddock for the race, and was sitting with Rick Hammerly and our wives and Jason Milligan from Oaklawn and his wife Tiffany. And at one point, we had one of the TVs had one of those, you know, track feeds, basically a paddock feed. And he was the first horse saddled, it seemed, John, and they kept the camera on him, and he looked a picture standing there taking everything in, his ears kind of flicking. I turned to Tina and I said, look at that, because I had picked him and you know, had talked him up. I said, look at how great this Tripoli looks.
That's a good observation, because he was just like that. You know, you can feel that when you put him on, you know, when you put the saddle on him on the big day. He was bone dry and really acting great in the paddock. So for you to see that on TV, good eyes. And he looked just bright and fresh as he could be in the paddock. So we were very happy.
We'll get to Costa this week too, because there's some things tied for him to naming the horse Tripoli, and it's a great name, and you know, it's a family, as so many things with the Aronis team. But talk a little bit about where you are, you know, with him vis-a-vis Rock Your World, because suddenly you're flush with Breeders' Cup Classic candidates.
Well, you know, what we did here with Rock Your World, the original plan was for him to go on the Del Mar Derby. But he started, you know, he's training so well on this dirt here, we decided to go on the Del Mar Dirt, which, you know, I mean, let's see how it works out. You know, I get the cart before the buggy before the cart, but he's training super on this Del Mar Dirt. So we'll get a good look at him on Sunday. You know, and then hopefully we have a lot of tough decisions. But, you know, one step at a time. We're enjoying this one from last Saturday, and we're looking forward to this weekend with some good runners in the stakes this weekend also.
Well, excited to see where this goes. And this weekend, that would be the Shared Belief, right, this week?
Yeah, Shared Belief on Sunday.
And then the Awesome Again, and you know, how hardy, you know, he's not a big horse, Tripoli. How hardy when it comes to the Awesome Again, would you be inclined to run? And obviously the Rock Your World portion will play out as it plays out, but
I just don't know yet. You know, I get the rag numbers every Tuesday. I want to see what kind of move he made. I hope he ran about a six, would be ideal, not too fast. It looked like kind of that kind of a race. So we'll see what kind of number he ran, and how bright he is, and, you know, whether we go. Because it's either the Awesome Again and the Breeders' Cup Classic or the Breeders' Cup Classic. So,
right.
You know, I like to tell Costa, and I think I preach this pretty regularly, is we'll let him tell us, you know. When we go back and you see what, you know, day two after a race, there's still a lot of adrenaline flowing, you know. But let's get back into the routine and see how bright he looks and where his energy level is. And then we'll either prep him once or train him up to it.
Well, Tripoli's win in the Pacific Classic. First grade one for Diego Pereira. Third Pacific Classic for John Sadler and Costa Aronis. And, John, it was a good weekend, because even going into Saturday, you had already annexed the Rancho Bernardo on Friday with Edgeway.
Yeah, Edgeway's a really nice filly. You know, we were just shaking. I was shaking my head after I ran her at Los Al. not that she got beat. I was shaking my head because she wasn't second, because nobody was beating Gamine that day. I don't care, Colt or whatever. She was just a monster. And she's clearly the head of that division. There's not anybody really close to her. There was a strange effort for Edgeway. We shipped her over race day. She got hot and nervous. And, you know, sometimes you take them to a new track, they just won't run over it. She didn't run that day. But she came out good. She trained very well down here. So I was pretty confident she's going to run, you know, run her race back. And she got a perfect draw. She was the outside speed. You know, she looked like she could control the race. And it went as planned. So we're very happy. I really like her. She's a lovely filly, beautiful filly. So, you know, and she's got such a good record. You know, she has, you know, very few races that aren't good. You know, and even the ones she's been beat in, you know, I know that division very well. That Kamari of Wesley's is very good. The Ian Wilkes filly, I think Four Graces is very good. So there's a lot of quality in those running lines.
Oh, and also,
Frank Rocquette, you know.
Frank's Rocquette, who runs today. Yeah. Later this afternoon.
We beat her at Oaklawn. So I know there's a lot of goodness in that form.
Let me also ask, because also on that card, I didn't really think much of it, but I did see that you had that Cowbred winner of the nightcap.
Yeah, it was very dark. So I mean, because they had a long inquiry earlier in the card, so that's a really lovely filly. She was heavily bet because she worked so good, but she's a nice filly. Her name's Big Switch. And she'll definitely be a factor in the Cowbred races going forward. Might go to open, you know, later on. She's a big, big, good-looking filly. Looks like a three-year-old colt.
She's a Cowbred of George Krikorian, and there's his own Mr. Big. So really a house, kind of a house horse. And, you know, I didn't mention that I should. Mark Holliday, of course, Blue Devil Racing, who we know in New York, bred Tripoli. And there's a sibling behind that Patty Gallagher has.
I did not know. But
yeah,
we'll keep an eye out for it.
I'll tell you that Love Train. I know that I remember Love Train, the dam Chris Clement had. She was nice. For the Good Times is the 3 year old filly. She's 1 for 3 so far for Patty. And there's a named 2 year old by Hard Spun, Starship Jessica, in this family. So this is a fairly, it's funny, it's a fairly young mare. She's an 11-year-old mare, and she's obviously going to be productive. And I wonder if Mark Holliday might not keep a few of these going forward now that John, what else do you have to the last 2 weeks of the meet?
We've got Flagstaff on Saturday in the Pat O'Brien.
Oh, good.
You know, he comes off to a good race in Friends in Fire in New York. Very sharp. He was second in this race last year.
Yeah.
So he'll be in there with CZ Rocket, I guess. And then we end up on the last weekend. I think we've got 2-year-olds, imports from Europe for the 2-year-old colts and 2-year-old fillies going long on the grass. And, you know, we counted up our numbers. We got plenty left to run. Not all stakes, but we're going to be busy through the end of the meet.
Outstanding. John, congratulations. Just delighted for you and for Costa. My first opportunity to be out here for the summer, and we'll look forward to being back for Breeders' Cup.
What do you think? Not bad, huh?
You could get used to this in a hurry. This is especially when there's hurricanes and torrential rains and whatnot back home.
Yeah, we're very spoiled with our weather here, so it's great. You know, and but people don't realize it's great horse training weather. It's cool in the mornings, burns off midday. It's good weather to train horses in, so it's great for the horses. Take care, Steve. I got to go back to track.
Get back to the track. John Sadler, everybody, and there's your update on the Pacific Classic winner, and we'll round out our trip and our coverage of Pacific Classic weekend with Phil D'Amato, who's down on the apron here with our crazy system. Phil, thanks for coming.
Anytime.
Let me turn to my materials, because the morning has been a little on the hectic side, and we go to the Oaks, and going global, this Irish bread, part of a great weekend for Flavian Pratt, and this seemed very competitive going in, right?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a legit race. Chad Brown sent his filly in, who's a nice filly, and you know, there was a lot of nice other quality horses in there, and you know, the filly that had beaten us before, Madone, Carla Gaines' filly, who finished second. So there was a lot of legitimate three-year-old grass fillies in there.
You know, every time we talk, it's because you've won another turf stake, and this filly's unusual, and including a stallion. I can't wait to talk to Sid Fernando on Wednesday. Mamas, an Irish stallion, and give us a little bit of the backstory on this one.
Well, the bloodstock agents are Niall Dalton and Michael Donahue. They presented this horse to Michael Nentwig, and they had a good backstory on her. She had been sick in one of her races over there in Ireland, and they thought really highly of her, and she didn't run well. And then she came back, and they got her right, and she broke her maiden very impressively. So she was kind of just ripe for the picking. And ever since I got her into the States, I mean, she just trained like a really good horse. And I was looking to run her in an allowance race. The allowance race didn't go, so I threw her in a stake race right off the bat. And she just kind of hasn't looked back since.
Unbelievable. And that includes, and we have talked about her before, obviously, with the kind of record that she's compiling. And other than that San Clemente, where she was beat, you know, a half length, other than that, she's perfect in North America.
Yeah, she just has that wicked turn of foot. And if you can get her in the clear, she has, you know, an awfully good chance to run anything down, and Flavian knows her so well. She also has some tactical speed, which kind of helps her, you know, put herself in good spots later on in the races. And she just a filly. She thrives on winning and competitiveness, and I just think she's going to steadily get better and better on us.
You know, she's getting, you know, steadily better. I mean, she just seems to run to the wire, essentially, right? I mean, she's that type.
Yeah, no, she does, she loves a target. I mean, anytime you give her a target, she loves to run them down, and she just got that competitive nature in her. And, you know, I think, fortunately, it sounds like we're going to be able to campaign her through next year and then look to make her a broodmare prospect. So, you know, we can manage her accordingly and space her races out nicely and have some fun with her.
What do you think about her? I mean, now she's a grade one winner. So you've got that, you know, you got that going for you, which is nice. But she's won at a mile and a mile and out to a mile and an eighth. What do you think is her best configuration?
You know, I think she can probably stretch out a little bit further. I mean, we won't know until we find out, but she's very tactical.
Yeah.
And she's not hard on herself. She doesn't really pull. She can kind of come on and off the bridle and back on whenever you need her. So I think, you know, stretching her out steadily, I don't think it should hurt her any.
What's your thoughts toward fall? Where do you go now?
You know, I'm not so keen on the Breeders' Cup this year. Anytime you get a three-year-old this time of year having to run against older and throwing, you know, a couple extra furlongs at him, that's a lot to take in. So I think we're just going to just let her tell us when she's ready. But you've got the Queen Elizabeth at Keeneland.
Yep.
You've got the American Oaks at the end of the year. Both really good races for three-year-old fillies. And let her develop and hopefully next year take on the big girls in the Breeders' Cup.
I got a wacky idea. There's going to be a big pace to run at in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Why couldn't she run in that Turf Sprint?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she has that turn of foot, too. I don't know if that's really what our objective is going to be, to cut her back from a mile and an eighth, then to go five furlongs. That's pretty tough, you know, and there's a lot of really good horses in that category. I mean, I tried to do that yesterday with Gregorian Chant. He really likes that 5.5, 6 furlongs. Tried to sharpen him up at 5, and it was just a little too short for him as well. So I think I'd play the more conservative route with her, let her develop, you know, let her get bigger and stronger and take on, you know, nice three-year-olds in grade one races later on in the year and then tackle older next year with definitely a goal of being in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, the way particularly thinking back to the way she won that Providencia, where she closed into a dawdling pace.
Right.
And you look at that Sweet Life win where, you know, she got 21-3, 44 flat, and, I mean, she was moving away from them at the end.
Yeah, she's very handy, you know, and that's the thing. That's why I feel good about stretching her out. But I'm never a big fan of doing too many things in one fell swoop.
Sure.
So to go tackle older that have run at that distance, you know, you're dealing with multiple different variables. And I think these kind of fillies, whether you're a three-year-old colt this year or a three-year-old filly, this time of year, you're kind of in that gray area. And, you know, I just kind of let her tell us when she's ready to go through it and then, you know, go forward and tackle bigger and better.
Well, she's exciting. And she's not getting nearly the attention she deserves.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think had she had not lost the previous race and been undefeated going into this last race, maybe she gets a little bit more press. But, you know, as soon as you lose one, you know, you go to the back burner in this business. But I definitely think she's going to be a solid force, you know, from here on out.
I really exciting. It was fun to be able to see her in person. Plenty of other things to touch on beside the Del Mar Oaks winner. Peter was with us earlier, and he acknowledged that Mo Forza took that left turn and really compromised Count Again. That was unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Count Again still, I mean, he's the victim of, he definitely needs pace to run at. And, you know, if he doesn't get it, he's not nearly as effective. So in these small fields, they don't favor him. But I got to say hats off to Pete Miller, because I thought to bring that kind of horse off a bench on this more tiring turf course against those horses, that was a great training job. And Mo Forza is definitely, he's definitely a legitimate horse. And going into the Breeders' Cup, you know, they're going to have to watch out for him.
Well, so you'll, City of Hope for you?
We'll see. I don't know. I might give him a little breather, back off, and kind of, you know, reevaluate him. We've run him a bunch of times this year, but I kind of want to get him sharp and get a win under his belt and get him kind of in that right frame of mind again.
The win, and I didn't get a chance to reach for John Sheriffs today, but the win obviously in the handicap and Astronauts big price upset. And there were a couple of things that were going on that we should touch on. pretty much without any fanfare, Acclimate ran tremendous. You have to be thrilled with his try.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And it's one of those things where he's a horse where he likes a firm turf course to really bounce over. And throughout the meet, you can look at the statistics. The horses that have won on the lead here have been, you know, it's been very rare,
yes,
to say the least. So for him to do what he did on this kind of turf course and makeup, I thought that was a tremendous effort. Had it have been at Santa Anita, I think, you know, he might have been right there at the wire with the best of them.
Acclimate third, beaten less than a length in the Del Mar Handicap, and behind you did Dead Heat with your other two. Red King and Say the Word ended up dead heating, and I'm sure Joe Bravo would like to get the trip back with Say the Word.
Yeah, I mean, I've just friendly banter, you know, on him for the last 2 days on that ride. He's given me some great rides at the meet, and
that was
definitely not one of them. And he definitely knows that, and I've been making him aware of that. And I told him I would stop today. He raised a horse for me. I said, Joe, okay, I won't give you any more
heat
for that, but I just have to give you one last dig.
36-hour limit, is that the expiry date?
Yeah, and he's great. I mean, he takes it. He knows. But that horse, Red King, he got in a little trouble too. But Say the Word, I mean, he was loaded for bear. I had to cringe after that one and watching him through the stretch. But he'll live to fight another day too, and we'll find a good spot for him.
Unbelievable. Sometimes you don't know how to introduce that, you know, you don't want to hurt Joe's feelings, but everybody saw it. It's not like it wasn't on display, but overall, still a terrific. You win a grade one, and it's been a great meet.
Yeah, we had a good day. We debuted a nice new 2-year-old filly too. On the big day.
Ain't easy, right?
Ain't easy, yeah. Yep. She won very nicely. I thought we'd be fit enough to, you know, to run a good race and then stretch her out, because I really believe that's what she wanted to do, but she wanted no part of that. She wanted to have her come out party in the first time she ran, and she did it in style.
Absolutely. And you had Joel, too, which doesn't hurt.
Yeah, anytime you can get him, he's one of my favorites.
We're gonna wrap up here, but tell me about this interesting Cody Bear filly, the 2-year-old Helen's Well from last week.
Yeah, another one of those Diamond in the Rough finds by Niall Dalton. She was just a filly. She was supposed to make the 2-year-old sales over there in Ireland, but because of COVID and restrictions,
unbelievable,
it was hard for her to get her into the Breeze Up sale. So that trainer just ran her in a race, and she ran a really good fourth, all things considered, going almost a mile first time out. And Niall found that horse. She came over here, and she's been a nice addition to our barn. Big, rangy, scopy filly, and I think she's just going to get better from race to race as well.
A very quick lightning round wrap-up on maidens. Desert Dawn, you got an Arizona bred on Thursday.
I'm really excited to see what she does, too, because she's been... she was Ain't Easy's regular workmate, and she's been heads up with Ain't Easy the last couple of drills, and definitely acts like she wants to run long too. So we've been waiting for this spot to, you know, see what she's made of. But if she runs as good as she trains, I think she'll be right there.
Well, we'll pull it up with that one. The other two were older maidens, but Phil D'Amato, great way to wrap up. Thanks so much. Well done.
Thank you, Steve.
Phil D'Amato, everybody, who we talk to on a regular basis when it comes to winning important turf stakes. It's crazy. Phil's left and right. Well, there we go.